Hey, buddy, welcome to Mat Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I am joined by the real grape one, Rich Stambolian.
The grape one. You can just call me King Cool Boy, baby.
Are you going to get into a feud with the grape Ayaz Akhtar?
No, he can own and operate all the grape and the grape machinery. He has a playground called the Grape Escape. it's an amusement park.
This is a boyhood dream come true for the great Ayaz Akhtar. Big time CBS interactive on-air talent. This guy's all over the place. I mean, he's been around forever in technology. And now look at this. He's getting a mention on the Wrestling Observer website. So his dream has come true. This is all he's lived for. That's what he
Pretty
told
sweet.
Me. Forget about his amazing blockbuster career. This is all he's wanted. Is to be mentioned on a pro wrestling podcast.
Hey, listen, when you wake up, it's great to be the grape.
It's great to be the grape. Guys, we have so much to talk about. Second show of the week. We have a watch along this Sunday on I believe on our website. I have to confirm that. Whether either it's on our website or it's going to be on the F4W site. Doesn't matter. You could join us. We're going to have a lot of fun watching Fastlane. Another WWE pay-per-view, the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. We do have a lot of WrestleMania news, a lot of AEW news. A lot is happening in the sport of professional wrestling. But I want to remind everybody, guys, if you enjoy the show, if you're new to the show, if you haven't subscribed in the past, do us a favor. If you're watching here on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. It helps us out. Hit the like button. Hit that bell, I guess. You got to hit a bell because nobody's getting notifications that we're live anymore. There's a big problem. Everybody's telling us, hey, I didn't get a notification. Well, hit the bell and you'll get a notification. Also, if you listen to podcasts on the go, you could check us out anywhere podcasts are available. Doesn't matter. It could be Stitcher. It could be TuneIn. It could be Apple Podcasts. It could be Spotify. It could be anywhere and everywhere. Pandora, we're there. Subscribe to us. So, Rich, a lot to talk about today, obviously.
Absolutely.
Andrade, by the way, just made a post.
Yep.
An hour ago. Do you want to go into this post? Because I just saw this, and it was not in my notes, but Jonathan, one of our producers, just sent this to me.
It's in the notes.
Is it in the... Oh, shit. Okay.
It's in the notes.
Sorry,
look
man.
At the Look
Sorry.
At the notes.
Look at the friggin' notes.
Look at the notes.
I know. It's all over the place.
Mr. Gonzo stays up till 5 in the morning handwriting these.
I know, and I don't even read them.
Beautiful calligraphy, and then... He transcribes them into a Word document. I told him it's a very roundabout way of doing this. But he was like, listen, I really love you guys. Let me do it my way. Also, happy 350th episode, Andrew.
Hey, happy 350th episode. I totally forgot about this, considering the fact that you told me to mention 350 multiple times, and I did everywhere other than the show.
I think you need a nap. That's about it.
Dude, I need more than a nap, trust me.
You're good.
So 350th episode, and we will be doing a giveaway today of a pre-order. It's not released yet. It's a Stone Cold Steve Austin Funko Pop with the Smoking Skull belt or a belt. Yeah, it is a Smoking Skull belt. So this is pre-ordered right now. And we will be giving it away to one of our viewers this week during, I guess, you know, you could watch this and you could subscribe to us. Or I'm going to drop a hint. And if you guys get the answer right later on in the show, one of you guys will win this. I'm going to make it easy but difficult.
Okay.
All right.
Is it a trivia question?
It's a trivia question.
Okay, because last time it got a little confusing when you were like, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 6.
No. I got a very easy one. Very easy.
Yeah?
Okay. If you're a fan of the show, here's a question.
Ooh.
How old were Andrew and Rich when they became friends?
That's a good question. Is it going to, like, specific ages? Because I don't really remember, my friend.
I remember a specific age. I remember.
Okay, if you remember a specific age, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I remember a specific age. Now, there is an age difference between us.
Yes.
So I will make that one easy, okay? I will say the age difference. It's about 14 years, and I'm older than Rich.
It's very shocking. I am 17 years old.
Actually, how many years older are you than me? I'm born 84.
I was born 81, so 3 years.
Okay, three-year difference, yeah. Okay? So
your
you birthday's could do
in May,
the
mine's in July.
Yep. So I'm putting it out there. First person that gets this right, you can send me an email, guysfromqueens@gmail.com, or you could tweet us I have mentioned this multiple times on the show, in past shows. I believe on a couple watch-alongs we've gone into detail about this. So if you get this right, you will win this Funko Pop.
That's a good one. It's a good it's a good giveaway.
It's a good giveaway.
Good trivia. Good Mad Men trivia. Make it about us. It's our 350th episode.
It's our 350th episode. So where do you want to begin, Rich? You start the show.
Well, let's go into the breaking news that Andrade acknowledged the rumors.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So as of this morning, Andrade tweeted out that the rumors are true and he doesn't know what the future holds. You rarely see a talent really give in to the online questions like this. You know, I'm not saying I think it's a work, but I do think the guy's frustrated, you know?
Yeah. Yo, I think he's definitely, dude, he's, you know, we spoke about this on the show on Monday. By the way, 350 from Nelson. Happy, ooh, happy. Thank you, guys. We spoke about this on Monday. We did a show on Monday, and we went into detail about the Andrade situation, because it is fascinating that a guy that really is super talented, he is a top act, in my opinion. I feel like Andrade could be a top act if he was promoted as a top act. Some guys, they don't have that, and I'm not going to name names. I don't want to single anybody out, but there's a tremendous amount of talent on that roster that can never become a top act. They're just not intended on it. They're lacking a charisma. Andrade has so much charisma. In-ring ability is great. Very unique wrestling style. He's still stuck to a lot of the lucha style stuff while adapting a more Americanized style. Good body on him. Good face. Great hair. Why isn't he where he should be?
I really do think the Paul Heyman stuff, the English language stuff, the relationship with Charlotte not being used appropriately, Zelina Vega leaving, like, I feel like this is just like a downward spiral, unfortunately, for the Andrade character on WWE television, you know? Yeah. And the dude, like you just said, he's got the look, he's got the presence, he's got the charisma, he's got the in-ring ability. And me personally, I don't care that the dude doesn't speak English that well, you know, like, but he's trying. He's putting an effort out there to cut those promos.
But why does it matter, right? Like, why does it matter that he doesn't speak English properly? You know, fluently, right?
Sure.
You don't
sure.
need to speak the language fluently to become a top star. If there's something interesting about you to the audience, nobody cares.
Yeah, look at Asuka. Asuka's a great example of, they took her lack of English speaking and turned it into like this bonkers, out of nowhere character.
I think that's just, it just shows when they want to make something work, they will. There's more to the Andrade story. There's definitely more to it. It's not as cut and dry as people think it is. I've asked a couple of people, I've spoken to a couple of people throughout the week, and it's a complicated scenario, and I think the Charlotte situation doesn't help, you know? It's not helping him. You would imagine that it would help him, but he's kind of stuck in a spot here. Losing Andrade would be a major hit to the company.
I think that would be...
You don't think so?
I don't think so at all. I think that it's...
With star building?
I don't think so, dude. I think, like, he's one of those... Unfortunately, like, he's one of those talents where, like, the WWE could just move on. WWE can move on from the loss of anybody, dude.
Listen, at this point, we know.
It's crazy.
Dude, we know. WWE, you're absolutely right. By the way, Mark L., 350. Happy 350th show. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks,
I love
guys.
These guys. Really, the most amazing community in professional wrestling. I mean, I truly believe that here.
Also, it's funny, Papa Johnzo just sent us the tweet image from Andrade, and as soon as I saw it, I'm like, he's sad and dressed like Orange Cassidy.
He is, but I like his outfit. See, I would rock that outfit.
Yeah, I think you'd look good in the Canadian tuxedo.
The Canadian tuxedo, all denim?
All denim, baby.
So, it just shows you, and you're absolutely right, WWE in its current state, the reality is, they don't need anybody other than the big five or six. And you can see by the central focus, they're not putting any focus in anybody else except for Edge. You got Edge. Roman. You have Roman. You have Drew, right? You got Lashley now. Mm-hmm. And maybe another guy on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan.
Well,
and then you got the Goldbergs and the Lesnars and everybody else that they'll do great with. You know, it's a very different mindset. And I got to tell you, in business, it's very easy to fall into a trap where I don't think WWE ever intended on saying like, well, we're going to rely so much on these guys. I think it just slowly happens. And you saw it happen. The mid-2000s were about rebuilding talent.
Right.
That's what it was. From 2005, 2003 to 2010, they were all about building talent. And then they realized when CM Punk left, you know, it was a great example of, oh shit, if we rely on the talent and we create the stars to this capacity, and they pulled the rug under us, we're screwed. So that whole spoke on the wheel promo that CM Punk cut is 100% accurate. They don't want a John Cena possessing every power of the draw. Same thing with a CM Punk. They want it to be the circus. Yeah, you've seen some people come for the clown, some people come for the tiger, some people come for the fire act.
Exactly.
But you're coming for a multitude of things, and that is their current concept. And wrestling was always like that. I think people don't realize that how wrestling began, and it was the draw of multiple things, not just one. And then we got into the star power generation with Bruno and you know, Gorgeous George was probably the biggest star of all time, the first big star, and everything changed. You know,
and then Hogan and subsequently like all these other guys. But, you know, like honestly, like if you really think about it, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and I wonder if you agree with me. I feel like the only person that leaves WWE who would functionally probably hurt the company would be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Roman would be a big hit. Listen, and it's fascinating to say that because Roman in its current version is bigger than he's ever been. Right. As far as fan service goes, this isn't the Roman that they ever wanted. This isn't what they intended on Roman being. They wanted Roman to be the superhero babyface. And you could see by everything that they've done, they've made him into the superhero with the, you know, with the superhero style vest and this thing. That's what he does, right? Isn't that how he does it?
We need that TikTok clip for you.
Flames start shooting up.
Oh boy.
It gets girthier and girthier with just every it gets bigger. It becomes like the Hulk's arm.
you ever do that before you punch somebody?
isn't that how we all punch? Like, dude, I was at the club the other day. This guy was drunk, really, really aggressive. I'm like, dude, you want to fight? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, hang on, I got a power up. And I just went for it.
Boom, clobbered him. And he got clobbered. Knocked out immediately. Fell right out the door to the club.
So I don't know. I think this is a very, very slippery slope, and they got to be careful on who's leaving and who's not, because I personally feel that Andrade is a big hit. And maybe that's a little selfish. I feel like sometimes I look like Andrade, but missing a chromosome.
Okay.
You know, like I think he's like a very handsome version of me, you know?
I don't think that's how chromosomes work.
It is. Sometimes it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sure. I checked. I called.
Sure.
I'm like, hey, Johnny Chromosome, how does it work? If I'm uglier than someone, am I missing it? And he said, yeah,
you're
that's how it
couple.
Works.
Missing and, a couple and, of and chromosomes.
And then Johnny tried to sell me some drugs to fix it, but I said no. He wants to meet me in an alley.
It's a very interesting turn of events. Let's see what happens. I immediately thought of Brody Lee when he asked for his release and they granted it to him, you know, and he made those public statements also, you know, like they gave him what he wanted, which is great. Andrade, I think he's one of those guys that will be fine wherever he goes.
He'll go back to Mexico. We'll do a little stuff in Mexico. Does he go to AEW if he does leave? You know, is that a great get for them?
I honestly think Mexico, Ring of Honor. I feel like Ring of Honor would scoop him up immediately.
Do you know how much they're paying this dude? Do you know how much he's getting? Andrade, he's getting paid really well. And it's something Ring of Honor would not be able to do.
You never know, man.
Unless he wants to be a free agent and go everywhere. I mean, listen, if you were to talk about him leaving, I would love him to go to AEW, because think about the feuds he could have, right? He could feud with Penta, with Phoenix, with Pac.
Everybody.
And you know what? And his style would fit what's going on. You know, it's sad to see someone want to leave. Everybody's goal is the WWE. At the end of the day, if you grew up and you're in my age bracket, I think there's going to be a whole generation now that's coming up, and you're seeing it, that never intends on going there or thinks that they could do it on their own, which is great. But everybody that grew up between 25 and 40 would want to go there. See? The reggae horns agree.
I got a lot of reggae horns happening right now.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you say that Ring of Honor can't afford him, right? And I hate to sound like a broken record, but I will bring up Cody again. When Cody left WWE, he saved his money. The dude was pretty like a millionaire pretty much, yeah. right? Like when yeah. he left. And he was, do you think the Evolve shows paid this guy like $10,000?
Yeah, Cody had a different mission though. Cody had a different, Cody realized, you know, he's a very smart guy. Mm. And he realized that him going somewhere at the point there was nowhere to go really. And he did go everywhere. He went Ring of Honor, he went to Japan, he went to Impact, but he did it to do something different. He didn't, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm very curious where he falls in this. I really am. Also, by the way, today is the 1 year anniversary of Matt Hardy and Brody Lee debuting in AEW.
Wow.
Yeah. Today's the 1 year anniversary. Matt Hardy and the Exalted One Brody Lee. March 18th, 2020. Yeah. So right before right when everything shut down, they debuted, which was supposed to be on the Rochester show. Yeah, yeah. All right. Where do you want to go from here, Rich?
Do you want to quickly run through the news, or do you want to okay. Apparently there was an NXT COVID outbreak. From the ring crews traveling around without masks and just breathing each other's funky air.
So you could tell by yesterday's show, there was like 8 people working.
Yeah.
Last night's show was very, very gutted. You could tell that this was not the original show. I've been told they're not worried about takeover. We should not worry about that. Everything will be fine. You know, and I think this is happening everywhere. Things are getting a little bit looser. Everybody's getting a little looser.
People getting looser.
Listen, I was in Manhattan for the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. I stayed in the West Village, meatpacking. And, dude, people were out in the streets. They were out. They were partying. They were every place was packed. Every place.
Just because it's St. Patty's Day doesn't mean you should be breathing in people's funky body air.
Funky Guinness air? Yeah.
And also, I'm not going to name names, but our mutual bartender friend posted photos from her gigging at St. Patty's Day, and I was just like, yikes.
Yikes.
Yikes. I was half expecting you to see you in those photos.
No.
Gotta keep your distance.
Gotta keep my distance. So we got COVID outbreak, obviously, in NXT. People know that. Last night's show. Decent show. We'll go into that later. WrestleMania ticket sales. This is fascinating. It was supposed to go on sale on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, they delayed them. And a lot of speculation started with, well, they were going to do 25,000 tickets. WWE wants to do 45,000 per night. Is that why they're delaying it? There was a couple of reasons why they delayed it. First of all, WWE did want to do 45,000. I don't know how they settled on 25K. When I asked a while ago, when we first got the 25K number, they said it was going to be scalable, meaning they're going to set up 25,000 seats. And if things really loosen up by the time of WrestleMania, maybe they'll release a couple more tickets.
Yeah.
And they'll do it that way. I believe the ticket sale issue had to do with how they're placing people and where they're placing them. It's a very convoluted way. They sell the tickets in 4 blocks and 6, like 2, 4, and 6, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't transfer tickets and you can't give the tickets. It has to be like the original group that purchased it.
Right.
So you could transfer like you can't group 6 people together randomly. So when you buy it on StubHub, for example, you got to sell the block. You can't sell 1 or 2 tickets.
Okay.
Okay. So they were working on that. They're going to be separated in groups. Very curious how this is going to look. I have no, based on just my gut feeling, I think they're going to go above 25,000 in that building.
Oh yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Based on my gut feeling. I know that they're saying 25,000 tickets for sale. Dude, we got 3 weeks for this.
Yeah.
And this is a little weird. So they're really going to depend heavily on local business.
Yeah.
You know, they're in Tampa. So Florida is a hotbed right now. Everybody's in Florida. So they're really hoping that people from within Florida go because it's going to be easier for them to deal with. But 3 weeks to figure out your travel, buy the tickets, get vaccinated, get tested. Do you think that's enough time?
Yeah.
You think so?
Okay. I think, listen, man, like we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. I think people will make it work. You know, like if you want to get out of the house and you want to see wrestling and you want to go to WrestleMania, you'll do everything in your power to A, get the test, get clear, get the proper paperwork and go, or you're going to do your best to fudge it. And those are the people that I worry about.
Yeah. I'm very curious about this because this will be a good test as to like everybody, like the Super Bowl, for example, the Super Bowl, people were prepared to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's a much larger thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't feel super confident that they're going to be able to sell this thing out immediately, 25,000 seats. I could be wrong. I mean, I really could be. I just don't know. It's hard, difficult to forecast this. But I do feel that 45,000 seats in that building would be a little difficult to pack. I believe that. I don't think there's enough business in Florida to garner the 45,000, and I don't think people are traveling at that rate right now to do 45,000. But I could be wrong. Listen, it's just an assumption. I'm just guessing based on what I'm seeing.
Speculation.
Yeah, speculation. So we'll see what happens.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You're getting the second vaccine when, Rich?
April 2nd.
April 2nd, okay.
That's a Friday. What about you?
Next Friday, 26th.
So a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. And then we could touch tips and it'll be perfectly fine.
I mean, we do that anyway, but we're both wearing masks and latex gloves.
That's how it's working. But here's another thing, dude. UFC is running a live show, full capacity in Jacksonville, April 24th. So, indoor, it's an indoor building, full capacity. You know, it now shows like WWE could run the same thing. They're just choosing not to right now. AEW as well.
Yeah. What does that mean for WWE and AEW, though?
I don't know. Well, WWE needs to get out of that building soon. Baseball starting in a couple of weeks, so that building is not going to be accessible for them. Do they stay in Tampa, you know, for a couple of weeks in that stadium and just make it a Thunderdome and see if they could do that? I don't know. There's a couple buildings, you know, up for grabs right now. There's a building in Tampa that they could possibly run. There's a bunch of places in Texas that they could possibly run. We're hearing that, you know, here in New York, for example. By the way, I am hearing WWE is very interested in coming to New York in September.
Really?
Yeah. I'm hearing
Hammerstein Ballroom.
They want to run the Garden, but they cannot run the Garden at 50%. It's just not going to work.
You don't think so? You don't think? No.
Financially, they can't. Financially, it's impossible right now. And that's why you only see the Rangers playing or the Knicks playing. There's nothing else happening at the Garden because they're at 10% capacity. That's going to go up to 35, then 50. But that's going to change. And I'm also hearing that on April 18th, the state is going to eliminate the curfew.
Oh, wow.
In New York. So things are changing.
Let me ask you. So you went to that Ranger game a couple of weeks ago. How was that experience for you? Like what in the Garden, what were the protocols in place? Like what did you have to go through and how big was the crowd?
Getting in very easy. There was probably about 2,000 people in the building, 1,500 in the stand, in the seats, and another 500 in skyboxes. It was like watching a junior varsity practice.
Everybody was like far away from each other.
Everybody's far away in the stands. Wow. You know, everybody's very quiet. They're just watching. You didn't
really keep the mask on the whole time.
If you're seating, yes. But if you're drinking or eating, you don't have to have it on. I didn't see anybody really busting chops over that if you were sitting because everybody was so separate. Like we were the only people. There were three rows in front of us empty and all the rows next to us were empty.
Wow.
So it really, I mean, you could take that mask off and walk around and you would not be in contact with anybody. The stands are the concession stands are very bare. No merch for kids. Like it was done very half-assed, but it's still fully staffed. So you're hemorrhaging money. You're not doing this to make revenue. You're doing this just to get things rolling again, get the, you know, the engine pumping again. So I don't know. We'll see. But what does this mean for AEW and WWE? I expect AEW to start upping it in Jacksonville soon. WWE, same thing. WWE wants to start touring. And there's about, I think, 20 states right now that they could possibly do something in. I don't think it's the desirable states, though, for them. But, you know, here's how this works. You go into a market that you rarely run. Now you may sell out because there's no such thing as a bad market. People want to go and do things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at, I'm throwing a market, okay? I'm not saying they're going to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Sure.
Right? I don't even know if WWE runs Lincoln, Nebraska, but now they might because people want to go and do things.
You think they might end up running like the quote unquote like B towns?
I think they're going to run whatever they could run. Vince wants to get out and start touring again because he's realizing that, you know, you're missing a major portion of your income. TV deals, obviously, you're a TV product now, and that's what your money is. But, you know, the wrestlers get their money from touring. They get their money from their other deals. Their downside guarantee is not the only source of income. So you've taken that away. You've taken side hustles away, and now you're left with just your downside guarantee. Not great.
So what you're saying is, as opposed to running the Garden, you know how like when WWE advertises in New York, they'll advertise, you know, Monday Night Raw at the Garden and the house show at White Plains. So they're going to start doing the like White Plains, etc.
At the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Listen, I don't know. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. The next month, I would say the next 45 days is very crucial for everything. Everything could shift in 45 days.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The restrictions could be totally loosened up and we just go back to regular society. Or we'll have to start locking things down like in Europe right now because Italy's locked down again. Poland just did a lockdown again. So I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I have no idea. I'm just going based on the moment. I think WWE, if we're on the trajectory that we're on right now, I think WWE and AEW within the next month will start running with more people. Definitely WWE is going to be running after WrestleMania for sure with people. I don't know where, but we'll find out. Charlie Caruso news. She was pulled from Raw due to heat with the roster. I think the story blew up a little bit more than it should. So essentially, she's been tardy, and it got back to Vince, and Vince wanted to teach her a lesson. That's all.
All right. It happens, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Did you get your Peacock email?
I did get my Peacock email. I have Peacock. I played with their free service. I haven't seen with the WWE stuff on there. In speaking to a couple people on a technical side, they're not very happy on how this is going to be migrated because there's virtually no migration. Peacock is not on Samsung TV or the Fire Stick. By the way, the Fire Stick is one of the best-selling set-top boxes, STBs out there for streaming, and you're not on that one. You're not on Samsung TV. This is not going to be a super smooth transition.
Big mistake.
It was supposed to be released. I was told by March 18th it was going to be on Fire TV, and it's not. Okay. So I actually have no device, technically, that I can install this thing on.
Besides like a web browser.
Besides a web browser, which, how the hell does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, obviously, laptop, HDMI out, connected to your TV. I can't watch wrestling on my laptop, by the way, unless it's like a YouTube.
No,
clip.
I can't
I need
either.
To watch
either.
It on like a TV, you know, or like a big monitor.
So on March 4th, I read an article saying that it was coming soon. Okay? It was coming soon. Peacock has currently made a big splash in the streaming world, making most blah, blah, blah. Right now, it's available on Apple TV 4K, Apple TV HD, Google Chromecast, PlayStation and Android devices, Roku and more. But noticeably, it's missing on the Fire TV side. During an investor call at Morgan Stanley, Comcast CEO hinted that they're working towards widespread availability for Peacock in the near future. We're not on every platform yet. We're on most. We hope and believe that we will be on all major platforms soon. This is a major problem for them, you know?
Well, separate that from the fact that it's not only a major problem for them, but the WWE Network and the app is on every single device, right? I think that's where the conflict, that's where the confusion comes in for WWE fans who just want the app but don't want the Peacock, because it's like, that's a pain in the ass, you know? Like, if you're in your bedroom and you have a Fire Stick and you can't watch the wrestling that you're used to, you're going to go a little nuts. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why the WWE Network is still running, and I anticipate they're going to extend it until it's on this platform.
Okay.
When does the WWE Network end? Officially? When do we get blocked out of it in North America, in the United States?
Can I read you the email I got?
Yeah, but can you read it in like a very fancy voice?
The WWE Network is moving. And is that fancy?
That's very pompous? Fancy. Very pompous. Very pompous.
Very pompous. The WWE Network is moving. And beginning April 5th, it will be exclusively available on Peacock in the U.S. As a result, your current WWE Network subscription will expire at the end of this billing cycle and will not renew.
April 4th.
As of April 5th.
April 5th. Okay.
To continue watching WWE Network after your subscription expires, you'll need to sign up for Peacock. With Peacock Premium, you'll be able to stream every WWE pay-per-view event, including WrestleMania, on April 10th and 11th, along with your favorite WWE shows. Plus, you'll get access to tons of hit movies and series exclusive on Peacock Originals, blah, 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 blah. We'll send you another email with more details in the coming days. In the meantime, you can access your WWE Network as you always have until your current subscription ends. Sincerely, hugs and kisses, Vince McMahon. It was a personal email.
Did he put it like his? You know how he signs his letters?
How?
Have you ever seen it? I'm not even joking. I'm very serious. No. So when he signs, right, like he'll sign his name, and there is the whole memo, right? What he does, he takes like an ink block, drops his pants, puts his ass on there, and then just stamps his letters in his ass. The whole thing, you can't even read it, just his ass, just like a black stamped ass, and it says Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So I think this, I feel like this is, it's gonna write itself, but it's very confusing at this point because it's causing a lot of anxiety for wrestling fans, you know. And I think, like, as much as not great as WWE TV has been, I don't mind paying for the network because there's so much great stuff on there.
Oh, I don't either. You know, I even was considering if I could figure out a way, like I have a bunch of friends in Europe, I would just have them buy it and send them 1 year's worth and just access it through a VPN, because I don't want to lose all the weirdo stuff that I watch. Like, I go down a rabbit hole of Mid-South wrestling or whatever, you know, and I want to watch it. And we know that that's not going to be carried over immediately.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
You want to jump into Raw?
Eric Bischoff. Let's do that.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
Eric Bischoff going in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know what, dude? Of course he should be in there. You want to talk about, and there's a lot of conversations about, well, is it really a Hall of Fame? It's a vanity thing. It's not, you know, Drew Carey's in the Hall of Fame. So what does it mean? Listen, I get, they need the celebrity wing. It's all marketing, right? That's all marketing.
Yeah, for sure.
It's to garner some other mainstream crossover that you normally wouldn't. If you're a Drew Carey fan and maybe you like wrestling, you might. I get why they do it. They have a system and it works, right? But you want to talk about an actual induction into the Hall of Fame? Eric Bischoff, 130%, he should be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. This guy, regardless of what you think of Eazy-E, right? Regardless of everything about him, people, what they say about him, this guy has reinvented himself in 2020. You know, his podcast, really, with Conrad, they've done a tremendous job at it. Whether or not you believe what he says or doesn't, it's a fascinating thing to have access to someone like this.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we're going to talk about WCW in a few minutes.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a gotcha ploy to, like, all right, let's induct Bischoff. Let's try to convince him to not show up on AEW anymore. And let's do the same. Because I feel like if Eric Bischoff's there and Pritchard's there, also Conrad's going to be there, you know?
Yeah. Con's going to be there.
So you think this might be WWE's way of being like, yeah, listen, like, we'll give you like a nice Legends deal. Just stop showing up on their TV.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the conversation with Eric has heated up in AEW. I personally wouldn't mind seeing Gar because I think he's such a tremendous person on TV.
It doesn't matter where he shows up, right?
It doesn't matter. He has such presence, you know, when he's there, which, and again, I'm not talking about the man. I'm not talking about the booker. I'm not talking about the, you know, Eric Bischoff, vice president of WCW. I'm talking on-air personality. He's tremendous at getting you to dislike him. And any company would be lucky to have him on. To be honest, I think it would be a negative for AEW due to perception and optics.
Really?
Because now, like, oh, great, okay, you got the Big Show, you got Sting, now you have Eric Bischoff. What is this? What are you... it's TNA. Is Hogan showing up?
You know, I think there is a select group of people who will react like that. And guess what, Andrew? They're dummies.
I get it, but I get the perception. I don't think it's a positive thing for them. I really don't, because they got to be very careful. Listen, forget about the right thing, wrong thing. Optics matters, and right now AEW is in a very crucial moment, which we'll get into when we talk about their TV, because I feel like this year will be a determination as to what this product is and how people are perceiving it. The pay-per-view was the first real dud that they had as far as a main event match goes. And unfortunately, the match was tremendous. The ending was a dud. I think they recovered from this very well, from this fumble. However, you're still going to hear it, right? And
you're still going to hear it. But comparatively to other duds in wrestling, still not the worst.
Still not the worst. Still not the worst.
Still not the worst. For some reason, I am automatically... thought of Hogan being dragged by Undertaker's bike.
You know what? That is such a bizarre thing.
Right?
So
you
weird.
Can recover. That's it. I think people who hinge their like of the pay-per-view on that one explosion that was supposed to take 10 seconds, you got to get your head checked. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't take the air out of the room when we were watching it, because, you know, we have like your reaction video. I've never seen you more disappointed, I think, in my adult life than witnessing that explosion. But you move on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go into Raw, my friend.
Let's do it. So it looks like we're getting Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley for WrestleMania.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think about this?
I'm going to be honest. I like both of them tremendously. Okay. I think they made a big mistake with Lashley's return where they didn't elevate him to this level. But you know what? Everything for a reason. Maybe we wouldn't have this. Maybe this is going to kickstart something very interesting for him. I think he deserves it. I think Lashley should be in a position like this. He's a very good worker. I don't think he's going to have many more runs like this, you know, due to age, not because of ability, but due to age. He's reaching that moment. I don't know who should and who shouldn't win. If you're going to tell a story of Brock Lesnar entering this in some capacity, I think that would be interesting as a big man main event scenario. I don't dislike it, I'll tell you that, but it's not the talent, it's not the matches, it's the product. The presentation is just so weird. This is such a weird show to watch now, where tell me if you get what I mean by this, and I want the chat room to kind of help with this too.
Okay.
I don't know this show anymore. I don't know Monday Night Raw anymore. It's such a foreign show to me, where SmackDown is way more of a pro wrestling product where I want to watch, opposed to Raw, where Raw now seems... you know what it reminds me of? Remember those bonkers variety shows in the 70s and late 60s? Like the Dean Martin show, the Carol Burnett show. It has become a variety show.
Well, let's make a point clear that no way in any shape or form is Monday Night Raw as entertaining as those shows you just mentioned.
No, no. And that's a problem, right? And I feel like, you know what we're missing? We're missing, I swear to God, we're missing, like, example. Braun Strowman got slimed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Braun Strowman got slimed by Shane. I was in, you know, like when they used to like go into the peanut gallery and show like all the people up there, and they would do like the Muppet show. I was expecting a Muppet to show up and just be like, you know
what? You know what? I agree with you 100%. It is oddly unfamiliar. And I think, and my own personal theory about this is we have parallel thinking with this, because I was thinking about this today where I was like, Vince has always pushed the idea of entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's using Raw as that weirdo platform for pure quote unquote entertainment, which also makes me think that he maybe saw an I Love Lucy clip show once and was like, without getting full context of anything, and was like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's
and
possible.
He wants Raw to just be like old timey vaudeville jokes, people getting slimed, Baron Corbin getting dookied by Chili or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. You know what we're missing? I'm telling you right now, this is what we're missing. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
We're missing Braun Strowman handing somebody balloons and them just floating away.
Or
like we're going to get one of those.
Or him popping them with a needle or some shit. You know, yeah. Like,
it's such a foreign show to me. Listen, and there's so many aspects of it that I enjoy, mm-hmm. right? But it's so long and so wonky.
When was the last time you fully committed to the third hour of Raw? Well, on a Monday night.
Fully committed probably like 3 weeks ago. Like I'll watch it the next day, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. It's very difficult to do it.
I'll agree with you. You're not taking a shit on WWE. What you're doing is you're just saying like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you got the New Day defeating the Hurt Business for Raw Tag Team titles. Immediately challenged AJ and how do you pronounce it? Omos?
I think it's Omos. I think Omos. It's Omos.
Okay. Omos. Yeah. There you go. At WrestleMania. What a weird match. Why?
You okay?
Yeah,
Did reading that just send you
into, no, like... it's his debut match. He's debuting in WrestleMania. Yeah. AJ for the tag titles versus the New Day. The Hurt Business looked great with the title, so you put it on the New Day. How many times have they been tag champions now? 10?
I don't know, dude.
Are they in Dudley's territory now? I think they are.
I think so. And you know what the weird thing is? Like, why take the focus away from the Hurt Business as a unit with Bobby Lashley as WWE champ and these guys as tag champs?
Yeah.
You know, I think Vince probably really wants to see what Omos could do in the ring. And they're definitely getting those titles, right?
I don't know. I would imagine. Or what they do, they build, they build that they're going to, something happened between the two of them and they lost and AJ smacks them and he lays out AJ in the ring. And now you have a giant 7 foot something wrestler to work with.
11 times, by the way, for the New Day.
11. Got it. Amazing. Very impressive.
I think it's all AJ and Omos at WrestleMania. It's interesting that, you know, that's going to be like an easy day at the office for everybody involved. And they're going to make Omos look as strong as possible.
Hold on. Ayaz in the chat room. Old timeies will get this. Okay. You ready?
Go.
It's long and it's wonky. It's the name of Andrew's blank. Did anybody get that? That was my Carson. Thank you.
That was my
Johnny Carson reference. For a bit he did 35 years ago.
Oh boy.
Thank you.
It's visual. Very visual.
It's a very visual.
The people listening, they're not going to know what you just did.
So Braun Strowman got slimed, like Nickelodeon slimed. Like you can't do that on television slimed. fuck, I hate that slime shit. I guess Shane's a heel now.
Is he? I guess so. What kind of match are we going to get at WrestleMania between Shane and Braun?
I don't know. Pigpen match. I have no clue.
Book it. Great. Pigpen match.
Pigpen match. Yeah. That's what we're getting. And Alexa Bliss has challenged Randy Orton to a match.
I'm fine with that.
Cinematic?
I'd be cool with a cinematic match. I'd be cool with it starting out cinematic and then ending the ring.
You know what I want it to become? So Alexa Bliss, a cinematic match, right? We're booking a cinematic match. They're in the ring. Randy goes to grab her. She disappears, and she does this like 5-6 times, and it's all, and she becomes all the women that Randy took a crap in their luggage, haunting him,
alleged,
allegedly. It's all of them. All of them just appearing, manifesting in his mind, in his tortured mind. You know what? They're waiting with John Cena for him. If WWE doesn't do this, I'm gonna look right at the camera and say, if you fuck us with this Firefly Funhouse match where John Cena is not sitting alone in a dark room staring at nothing and Randy allows him to leave, if you fuck that up, I will never forgive you. Ever.
That'd be pretty cool, man.
Yeah. NXT
strong show, man. Strong show last night. I think NXT has also cornered the market on bald guys with goatees and beards. I was like watching it yesterday. I'm like, everybody's bald with a beard. What's going on here?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Everybody's got a goatee. What's happening?
Yeah.
But you're getting Balor and Cross. Balor came out, cut a promo. Cross came out, did a promo. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan came out and did a promo. Scarlett got some time on the mic to set up. This is all to set up the match between Balor and Cross at Stand and Deliver. Good back and forth between these guys.
Yeah.
And then they set up the match later in the night. This was what was confusing for me. So Cross comes out. He calls out Finn Balor. He says, hey, buddy, I'm going to take that belt. Finn Balor says, hey, you're going to choke, blah, blah, blah. And then Scarlett sets up the match between Balor and Cross and Burch and Lorcan. But Balor and Cross were very cool about it.
Yeah, why?
You know, they weren't like, oh, what do you mean we're going to team up? What kind of suggestion is that? You know, like, I hate this guy. They were like, yeah, we'll take you guys on. Very bizarre. I thought that was bizarre. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it is bizarre. I don't know. I don't know why they did it that way, but they did it that way, so it's fine. I'm excited for that match, yeah. Dude. I really am. I really want to see this match. I think these guys are going to kill it. Dexter Lumis defeated Austin Theory.
Dexter Lumis looked awesome. So did Austin Theory, man. Like
that kip up
into a drop play, into a leg drop looked fantastic. But they both worked their asses off in this match. Very strong.
Yeah, Dakota Kai defeated Zoe Stark.
Very long match. It was good. It was like a showcase for Zoe Stark, though.
So after EO brings out the contract for Raquel to sign for TakeOver, so now you have the two matches for TakeOver set up. By the way, next week you're going to get Io Shirai and Zoe Stark versus Raquel and Dakota Kai next week. Cool. So you have your two main events, right? You got both of them. You got the men's main event and the women's main event. So I assume one night goes to one of them, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have both of them on one night. And by the way, listen, this is fine. I think when people are very upset that there are no matches announced for WWE for WrestleMania, we don't know what's on what night. And I think that's really shitty, really, really shitty, considering the fact that people are buying tickets and many people are going to travel and you don't know on Friday, unless they announce it on Friday, the two big main events, you know, and you build on that. But what if I want to see Edge and Roman? That's the match I want to see. You're not going to tell me what day it is? Or this is a tactic to buy both nights.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the initial sales are for both nights, and then they'll announce and they'll sell more tickets depending on the night. By the way, I'm watching LA Knight right now on my TV. I did not see this match. So what did you think of it? It's not in the notes. I want to know your opinion.
I like Eli Drake, LA Knight. It was fine. You know, like, I think he's one of those acquisitions that I really feel like they're saying, let's keep this guy on TV, let's have him work, and then at some point we're going to put him in a program with like a top guy.
Dude, the dude has great punches, by the way.
Yeah.
Like a really good old school over the head punch. Really good.
Solid worker. Solid, like, he's like, what would you call that style now? Like old, kind of like an old school style? Like,
It's not a brawler. It's
like a Silas Young type.
Yeah. I'm watching right now. I'm very curious. Wow. Interesting move. That shoulder tackle that he does. That flying shoulder. Listen, I hope that the guy has a really strong career. He has a look. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I don't know as far as his style goes if it's interesting enough, but I think charisma sells everything, and this guy could definitely have... Wow, nice power bomb there.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, very interesting
charisma
guy.
Through the roof.
Charisma through the roof. I hope he has a great run over there. Where were we? Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly vow to hunt each other down Later, Kyle tries to run Cole off the road. Stupid.
They're going to have a great match.
Yeah, they are. Regal vows to make the match next week appropriate for this. We'll see what happens there.
I do like seeing more of William Regal on TV.
Yeah, he's a very good authority figure. Yeah. Respected. He's a respected authority figure. We got Phantasma defeating... Say it, Rich. Sorry.
Legado del Fantasma.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Defeating Breezango. What do you do with Breezango?
I don't know. You know, like, do you think they look at each other and they're like, why are we still working here? Like, why are we here?
Because they're getting paid. By the way, you know what's crazy? Over the summer, we were supposed to get another season of Southpaw Regional Wrestling. We were supposed to get season 3. Where the hell is it?
Most of those guys are gone. Heat's
no,
gone.
But they filmed a lot of it. A lot of it really? Was filmed.
The GBs are gone. Cena's disappeared. You can't see him anymore.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I think all the guys involved with that are like pretty much not there anymore.
Yeah. Jordan Devlin confronted Santos Escobar. Escobar challenges Devlin at TakeOver. This is going to be a great match.
Absolutely. It's very much like who's the real Cruiserweight champion, because Devlin showed up with his belt.
Yeah. What else do we have, Rich, in this match?
Got Tommaso Ciampa versus Marcel Barthel with Fabian Aigner. Thatcher not in attendance, but we did get Walter showing back up on American television.
Yeah.
And I'm super cool with a Walter Ciampa match. That's going to be super hard hitting.
Great TakeOver match. Like, I want to see this match. I want to see, because we haven't seen it, right? It's a match that's new. We haven't seen it. Very, very cool. We discussed LA Knight, by the way, winning his match. What do you think of the name?
I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I like it.
It's not a name, right?
It's fine. I have very minimal problems with name changes. You know, I think if they called Shinsuke Nakamura Freddy Japan like you named him all those years ago, I'd be upset about that. You know, but LA Knight's fine.
But you know what's interesting? This is one of the first guys that they named not a name. You know what I mean? Everybody has a name now.
Well, is Big E a name?
But yeah, it's his Big E Langston. That was his name, right? So they call him Big E. E's his
not
middle
anymore.
Name. Now he's just Big E.
He's been Big E for 10 years.
But it's interesting. LA Knight is not a name. And if you look at it, nobody's named the Executioner or Sawhammer.
Well, The Rock.
The Rock. He's a rock. Yeah.
The Rock.
Just a rock.
They never introduced him as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But he was Rocky Maivia, and then his nickname became The Rock. You're not going Eli L.A. Knight Drake. You're just calling him L.A. Knight.
You think he should have had a name that they could have shortened to L.A. Knight?
Yes.
Like Lawrence Alphonse Knight.
Yes, that's it.
Or something like that. Like Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Nobody on earth is named Triple H.
No, nobody. And of course, Balor and Karrion Kross with Scarlett Cross snaps. Birch injured, never tagged in after. So there you go.
Birch got injured, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's skip ahead to
Fastlane.
No. Well, what's up? What's up with Fastlane? Yep.
Fastlane this Sunday. Last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. You got Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship match. I expect Jimmy Uso to show up and interrupt this match, where maybe they'll do something like Jey Uso. So right now it's going to be Edge or Jey Uso to be special enforcers for this. I think they'll do a whole thing where Jey Uso will be barred from ringside, and here comes Jimmy Uso to screw, Daniel Bryan and Edge. Maybe you get a tag match later down the road with Edge and Daniel Bryan versus Roman and whoever, maybe a handicap match. They'll do something like that. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, dude. You're good. This story, I think, is just going to unfold even more and more. And when WWE does these big main event stories with guys they really like, it goes on forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Intercontinental Championship, Big E versus Apollo Crews. Looking forward to this. Should be a good match.
Also, I want to mention that names that aren't names, you're forgetting about Retribution.
They don't count. They're not real.
T-Bar's not real?
No, no. I think what happened was sometime during a pandemic, I did psilocybin, and these are all manifestations of a bad mushroom trip. They don't exist. They don't exist for anybody. If you follow their Twitter, these guys don't exist.
Like if you like you were in Texas and you went to a bar and you were like this Texas bartender at a T-Bar and you're like falling asleep. Slapjack. What was the other guy's name? Mace?
Mace. Slapjack. Turn
well,
knuckle.
Mace was a rapper.
Bully Hammer.
Are you upset when rappers don't have real names?
I love it when rappers don't have real names.
Okay.
I want the more wonkier the better. Like, what the hell is a Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Are you upset that Bad Bunny's name is Bad Bunny?
I love Bad Bunny. He can be Bad Bunny. We got WWE Women's Tag Championship. We'll go through this quickly. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Obviously, this is going to continue into something between Sasha and Bianca, setting up their WrestleMania match. Sheamus versus Drew. I don't know. Like, why this match now?
I mean, they had a really hard-hitting match on Raw a couple of weeks ago that went like half an hour. Whatever. Something's going to happen at the end of that match, and I think they just need time to fill on this, you know. But yeah. I am looking forward to Big E versus Apollo. I think that tag match is going to be fun. Sheamus versus Drew. And also, listen, you know as well as I know, when we watch this thing on Sunday, we're going to talk over everything. So it's really not going to matter.
Yeah. And of course, Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton, we'll figure out what the hell's going on there.
Okay. Did you watch AEW Dark Elevation?
I did. I watched bits and pieces of it. I didn't sit down and watch it live, but I watched it later on. Interesting. I thought Paul White on commentary was different. It was interesting. Obviously, this isn't something he's done a lot of. What did you think of him on commentary?
You know what? I think he was trying to get his feet under him, and I think there were bits and pieces where he did like a really bang up job, and it helps that he's doing it with Tony Schiavone. I think, and this is just analytical and critical because of the show that we're doing right now. I think if he familiarizes himself more with people's moveset, he'll be better.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. You know, where like, I think just because of being in that WWE bubble and, you know, like he's not used to seeing like Canadian Destroyers or like all these wacky different moves that everybody was doing, you know, but I think he did it. That being said, I think he did a good job. I was surprised that the show was 2 hours. I was also surprised that you got the Kenny Omega appearance.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think this is interesting that they're doing this. This is, you know what this reminds me of? Sunday Night Heat, right?
Okay, sure.
Sunday Night, the early Sunday Night Heat, early. I'm not going into like the Stevie Night Heat era, but the Sunday Night Heat era, like the early one, you had all these guys all over the card. You had Austin on there, Hunter, Rock, Angle. Everybody was on Heat, and I think this would be their Sunday Night Heat style show. Listen, they got three shows now. A fourth one is coming to TBS or TNT. I don't know where they're putting it, but I think probably TNT. So you got four shows now. Are you oversaturating it, or are you going to utilize these shows to highlight your big time, you know, your mid card, your lower mid card, get them more TV time, get them in front of people, get them working more, and then you have maybe one main event, like you had Ito and Rio as the main event on Elevation. You know, you put a main event on there and you see where it goes. You know, I wouldn't be against seeing a Kenny Omega match on there. I wouldn't be against seeing a Jon Moxley match on there. But you got to also be careful on where you're separating what you're doing. The big problem with WWE right now is like the WWE exclusive promos that we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are like gangbuster. It's unbelievable, some of these promos. Like Daniel Bryan has cut so many of these promos where he's looking in the camera, screaming at the camera, yelling at you. And nobody's ever seen it because it's not on TV. It's online somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of bizarre. So, you know, like, and that stuff is lost on me too. Like, I only look at that where if, like, you or somebody texts me, like, oh, did you check this out? You know?
Yeah. So, Tony Khan, what did you think of Tony Khan on the
show. I liked it. I like seeing Tony Khan in bits and pieces, you know? Like, I have nothing, I have no ill feelings towards this guy whatsoever, unlike the internet wrestling community. But I did like how he's like, yo, I'm your boss. Like, you can't renege on what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to face net, like, in 2 weeks, it's you and Matt, and you versus Matt Sydal.
But, you know, a lot of people are, listen, first of all, he's not an on-air character, right? I think he's a very smart man. I think he's a really funny guy. I think he has a lot of ideas. He's a really nice guy from everything that I've heard about him. I just, he doesn't have the TV experience, you know? And you could tell that he was playing a role more than knowing what he is. And I think over time you'll see him develop. It came out a little wonky to me, but that's fine. Whatever. It didn't impact the show for me where I'm like, this show sucks.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have like such a weird hard on for that guy for no reason.
He did sound like he was about to cry though.
That they're like, why Tony Khan? Why can't I be a millionaire also? That's what I think it is.
That's what it is. All right. Mm-hmm. Dynamite. Let's talk about the show.
Boom.
Began with Cody defeating Penta with a roll up. So you'll see this continue. All right, cool. Good match. I mean, really good match. Cody's gigantic, solid, though. People don't realize that he's gigantic.
Big dude. Thick dude. Thick guy. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
When you watch Cody, he does such a great job in ring of getting fired up, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something only like your top guys learn how to do. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, but that's the WWE, you know, polish. Mm-hmm. That's really what WWE does so well, is they polish you, but sometimes they polish you too much. You know, that's sometimes. Jade Cargill, by the way.
Ooh,
freaking impressive. It was like a 10-second match. They're building her as a monster. She looked great in this. Danny Jordan got squashed.
But good for Danny Jordan for being on TV instead of like Dark, and she was on Elevation too the other night. I'm super cool with them building Jade to be like this unstoppable monster, because you know that belt is gonna look nice on her
at some
point, you know. And this is a good building of that women's roster, which I think a year ago we were all in agreement that, looking at it, we were like, I don't know about this right now. It's still in its building phase, right? So you're getting pieces in place. We'll talk about the main event in a little bit, but I think Jade's gonna be one of the foundations of that women's roster going forward. And you have a lot of awesome talent too that is being added to that women's roster.
They're building it. They realize that it's very weak, and they're building it now. And we'll see. We'll talk about how well they built it at the end. MJF's new stable. It's called the Pinnacle. Very good promo. Very horsemanish, where they came out of the jet, you know, the private jet, into the limo. MJF cut a tremendous promo. You could already tell, though, the weak point is Sean Spears, and they know it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did Shin pay you to say that?
He did. He actually he told me that he'll take something back if I don't say that.
Did he Venmo you a bunch? He was like, listen, I need you to talk trash about Sean Spears.
Listen, nothing against the dude, but you could tell by the promo that they were highlighting him so much.
Yeah.
I do think he needs to grow a beard, though. I don't like the baby face look.
You know, I feel like if he went back to like the perfect 10 look from NXT. Again, this is just like critical, stupid aesthetics that we're talking about. You know, the guy's a phenomenal worker. Not a fan of the blonde hair. I think he needs to fit more in line with the other guys, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think he definitely needs to fit the other guys. I think it's a really cool stable. It'd be interesting if they add more people into it. But this may be the blood and guts match, no?
Listen, I'd love to see it. I think
you said it. You called it.
Big 5-on-5 at some point. Now you have a solid stable for Inner Circle to work, you know, which is easier, which will be easier on Jericho, right?
Yeah.
Like, instead of him doing these one-on-one matches, he's getting a little older, etc. 5-on-5s, tag teams, trios matches between these guys, you can have these two stables feud for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Swap members, you know, face turns, heel turns, who's leaving, who's joining the other. I think it's going to be a lot of fun seeing where this is going to go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this is a great example of, you know, Charlie in our chat room says, Sean Spears is a classic example of people whining that he was wasted in WWE. But the reality is sometimes you just, it's this much it takes to get to that next level. I think he's a great worker. Mm. I think he's a, he had a really cool, he was almost, I think that the problem is he's almost been there too many times.
Okay, so you think it's just like, you have the fear that he's treading water a little bit.
A little bit. I'm. Let's see what happens with this. Let's see where they go with this, because they may turn him around, and then we'll, you know, I'll say, my God, they turned it around. But I don't see that. I don't see him being. This is to highlight MJF in that Ric Flair role. You got Arn and Tully in there now. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he Barry Windham? Is he Luke? I mean, who? You know what I mean? Oh, there's always that one guy. He's definitely not an Ole.
Well, Sean Spears is Barry Windham, and Wardlow's Lex Luger.
Okay, that's fine. Right? That sure. works.
Yeah. But like, I think, you know, but Sean Spears being in that group is amazing for him, right? I think he needs it. He has a great, again, great worker, great nickname, great charisma. You know, like the chairman is such a good wrestling
name. It is a good wrestling name.
Yeah. And I think this is when he had a couple of stop starts in AEW, you know, like his initial start was great, the chair shot to Cody and all that stuff. But then they went with the black glove thing, which I thought it wasn't that great. And teaming him with Tully was good too. So now you kind of bring it full circle. This is going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, Tully, great promo by Tully. This man, he wrestled 2 weeks ago. I'm very glad to see he's doing so good. We got John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. They cut a promo prior. I thought the promo was really good. Mm-hmm. They discussed talking shop, which was interesting.
Talking shop mania.
They discussed it. They beat Gallows and Anderson. Kenny came out to beat them down and Pillmanized Kingston's leg.
Great.
Very good.
Bucks came out. You have like the dissolution where everybody's trying to too sweet each other, but the Bucks are like, nah, no too sweets.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not too sweeting you.
It's pretty good. I like that. You know why? Because we're going to get, again, this is something that's going to lead to all those matches that we want to see. You're going to get Mox teaming up with the Bucks versus Kenny and the Good Brothers, right? You're going to have like the different iterations of these feuds going back and forth, you know, which I think is pretty cool. Because it keeps it moving.
Oh, yeah, big time. Rey Fénix with Pac, defeated Pac. Angelico. All right, it was fine.
Yeah.
Now we're at the main event. Let's spend some time on this. So,
holy shit.
Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker in an unsanctioned lights out match. So the lights out match is the gimmick now, right? That's AEW's gimmick. And they've done a tremendous job with this lights out match. They've made every one of them feel important. Mm-hmm. This match went above and beyond what I expected. Thunder Rosa is a very good worker. Britt Baker has gotten to such a great point, but we really don't see Britt Baker wrestle too much over the last year. She was injured. She had a bunch of issues, obviously the pandemic. So she has not really done a lot of in-ring stuff, but her promo ability is tremendous. The stuff with Tony Schiavone has been great. This really took both of them to a crazy level. Britt Baker was covered in blood, in blood. For people who have not seen this, it's really daunting sometimes because we don't see it often, right? Like WWE barely never does this. Like sometimes you'll see color, but not like this.
Once every couple of years.
AEW's been doing this a lot more. Mm-hmm. You never see this with the women. Ever.
No, it was refreshing, you know, and like, you know, like as a fan of pro wrestling, and I think you'll agree with me, as a fan of pro wrestling, you sometimes need that little extra, and they delivered with that main event last night, dude. Like it was not only was it a good match, but you saw some stuff that you've never seen from a women's main event match on primetime television to close a show out, right?
Yeah.
Thumbtack spot, both of them busted open. Crazy table spots. The superplex onto the chairs. Really, 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 really solid. Really cool. It proved to everybody that they can go. It showed everybody what great workers they are. It also proves that Thunder Rosa, what an asset to AEW at this point.
Yeah, tremendous. I loved it. I thought it was great. They really went 100% and they delivered. You know, this still to be honest, this delivered more than the pay-per-view main event for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was really cool. Even I think Eddie Kingston tweeted out, he was like, "I banged my knee up, but watching that Britt Baker match makes me want to man up."
Yeah, that's hysterical. New Japan Cup. Oh, sorry, Rich. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's fine. How did you feel about Britt Baker's Crimson Mask?
I loved it, man. She, you know what? She solidified herself. This was the moment, I think, for both of them. This was okay, we're on the top of the food chain right now in this company when it comes to that division.
Awesome.
Really, very impressive match. If you have not seen this match, highly, highly recommend you go do it. Highly recommend you do it. All right, what else do we got?
New Japan Cup quarterfinals. You got quarterfinals. Evil beating Tiriano, Shingo beating Kenta. I think the next year is going to be Shingo's year.
Yeah?
To be on top, yeah. Jay White got beat by Dave Finley, which was a shocker. And
yeah.
We have the semifinals on Saturday with Shingo versus Evil and Jay White versus Will Ospreay.
I'm very behind in this. I have to watch it today. I have to watch these today.
Same here.
I'm very, very behind. Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat room and we will do our best to answer them, post them, and we will put them in our notes and I will answer them.
Let's see. Before we get into the questions, thank you guys again for tuning in. This is our 350th episode. I can't believe we made it to 350. That was pretty awesome. I was very shocked when we made it to 3 episodes.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, right, ready?
We killed it. Yeah.
Ready for this Q&A?
Let's do it.
Also, I want to thank everybody who's been watching us for all these years. Shin, Dave, Treehouse Vince. I know you pop in every so often. Large, all the guys in the chat room that, you know, join us every Thursday.
All
week. Right, let's see. Every week, man. All right, so Q&A time. Fifth Generation Carney asks, wait, you guys aren't twins?
We're twinsies.
We're twinsies.
You can tell. Look. Look at, look at our, first of all, look at our skin complexion. It's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
The cutest boys in America.
Crown Wolf, what if Cross wins and makes Finn his demon puppet?
Oh, boy. That would be interesting. I don't know. I don't want to see mysticism in NXT. You know,
okay.
I kind of like the purity of it. Like right now, I'm watching the main event. Just tremendous. I mean, wow. Scarlett took a big bump there. I think, you know, when the pure athleticism is something that I really like about NXT. And when you start making these wonky things, I'm like, that's not why I'm watching this, but it's fine for now. Like, it's okay. I just don't want to see that happen.
Okay. Fair enough. John Gorman asks, where does Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker rank in the all-time AEW main event matches on Dynamite?
Oh, it's up there, dude, right?
Top 10 for sure, right?
Hots. Yeah. I gotta look at what like the best matches were. I don't have any tally in my head, but I definitely would put it up there. Very highly entertaining. Loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Do you think... Ooh, let's see here. Mark L. asks, are you going to announce the winner of the Funko Pop now?
No, because I'm going to... You guys have to email me in order to win. You have to email me, guysfromqueens@gmail.com, and I also want to open it up to the people downloading this.
Okay.
Which fair is enough. Majority of our viewers, you know, 20,000 people downloading this.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you think, this is from Chris Farrell, do you think Britt Baker is bigger than the AEW women's title right now?
That's a great question.
Very good question.
I don't know. Does she need the title? Does she not? Like, what is the title doing for... what is the title... Well, for everybody that has held it, you know?
I think Sheeta's a fighting champion, you know, and her story is overcoming the odds, right? The problem with putting the title on Britt Baker is, you know what? Part of me wants to agree with Chris. I think Britt is bigger than the title because she is such a big personality. She's got the look, she's got the promo, she's got the in-ring ability that she kind of supersedes the belt a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think the belt makes the person or the person makes the belt?
It depends on the person. It really does. It depends on the person. Mm-hmm. Technically, the person person should make the belt, right? But there's many scenarios where I would say it's the opposite.
I'm going to give you one such scenario, and I want you to tell me how you feel, because I feel like you and I were the only ones who really, really were on board with this fully. Jinder Mahal's year-long run with the title.
Was it a year? No.
It was very long. I want to say it was a year.
No. It definitely wasn't a year. It was like 145 days, 140 days, something like that. The belt made him, but they didn't utilize that in any possible way after he dropped the belt. So it meant nothing. I think giving him that title made him into something. Yeah, the belt made him. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Listen, here's one for you. Foley.
I think he made the belt. Because you think he made of the circumstances of him winning that first time. You know, because it was like, that's still one of the biggest holy shit moments in wrestling, right?
That he won.
The fact that it was spoiled by WCW and people still tuned in. Like, I think that was just like a momentous thing. And he didn't really, whenever he had the belt three times, whenever he had it, didn't really hold it for too long.
But
it was always
funny?
Like the underdog story. Yeah.
I'll tell you what's funny. That story was ruined a week prior. It wasn't ruined like now the narrative is like, well, you know, Tony Schiavone ruined that match. They tried to ruin the match. It was all over the internet when it was filmed.
Yeah.
Which was a week prior. So I remember going on WrestleZone like the following day, and it was like released that like, oh, big spoiler, Mick Foley has won the title.
Yeah,
it didn't ruin it for me, and I don't think WCW. Very interesting though, very important moment.
I think we should do an episode of that speculation.
You know? Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Is Thunder Rosa still signed with the NWA?
I believe so.
Okay. Follow up question from a different person. Chris asks, how much will TK have to pay to sign Thunder Rosa when her deal is up with NWA?
I don't know what their contract situation is there. I know some of the top talent, but I don't know what like the other people are getting. Mid-card, I don't know. I don't know any. Like, I have no idea what they're paying Rusev. I have no idea what they're paying any of these guys. I think the entry guys, a lot of those guys that signed them, they were getting like $100,000 deals. I don't think there was a deal under $100,000, but that may be very different now. It may be a lot more. It may be less. You know, are you paying? I'm just throwing a name here. Sunny Kiss, right? Sunny Kiss signs for 100. I'm just throwing a number. $100,000. Are you getting your value out of having Sunny Kiss and paying Sunny Kiss $100,000?
Okay.
Or you know, I don't want to pick on anybody or any of those guys. Any of those guys. The Hollywood Blondes.
Well, you know? There's tiered payments, right? Like, I think that was established on like a number of different wrestling run podcast where it's like Tony Khan has like tier 1, 2, 3, and 4, and tier 4 is like your Jericho and like Moxley, and your tier 1 is like Brian Pillman Jr.
Okay, you know? Sure. Yeah. I don't know I don't know how they tier it. I don't know. I know that, you know, some people, a lot of the top talent make good money. A lot of the upper mid card make good money. And then everybody else, I have no clue.
And there's tier 0, I think too. So those are guys like, I want to say like a Danny Limelight, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Like the Radioactive Poppy. Great nickname, by the way.
Great.
He might be like a tier 0 where it's like, we'll pay you per appearance.
I'm sure.
Know?
Yeah.
All right. So Bachelor 3000 asks, do you guys have a favorite guilty pleasure movie?
Oh my God. I got so many of those. What's yours? You go first.
I take no shame in what I watch. I like what I like, and I feel no guilt or shame whatsoever. So they're all just movies to me.
My Cousin Vinny, probably my ultimate guilty pleasure movie.
Is it? Why?
I love it. Are you saying like a bad movie? Are you saying like a bad movie that I genuinely enjoy?
Do you know what a guilty pleasure is?
A guilty pleasure is a negative that you truly enjoy.
Like, let's say your wrestling guilty pleasure was, listen, I can't get enough of mid-90s WWE gimmick matches.
Sometimes sometimes Mabel's my guilty pleasure, for sure.
Yeah,
I don't like know.
Doink versus Duke and shit like that. Do you really?
I have a lot of them. Yeah, like, dude, Savio Vega, fucking loved his matches. Ahmed Johnson, okay. Loved Ahmed Johnson. Loved him.
This is my only pleasure for me.
Only pleasure. Ahmed only was pleasure. I don't know. I have a bunch of these movies that I watch. A lot of like the crappy like early 90s and 80s movies, you know, I really like.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's see. Any more? Do you think we're going to get any more matches for TakeOver?
Yes. Bunch more. Yeah. They have two nights. So they got to fill in at least six matches. So they need 12 matches.
Who do you think is better looking, Sean Ross Sapp or Alex McCarthy?
Alex is a handsome guy, but I'm gonna have to back my boy SRS.
That's your guy.
I'm loyal. What am I? I'm gonna bash Sean to say Alex is a handsome boy and he's not.
Let's see. Basher 3000, thank you for the $4.99. His guilty pleasure is Camp Cucamonga.
Camp Cucamonga, great. Love it.
We got a couple more questions. You ready, Andrew?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see. Do you see the Kaylee Ray Miyako NXT UK Championship match as a match of the year candidate, possibly?
I would say no. I think we're going to have so I think we're going to have so many good matches this year because we're going in front of a live audience. Mm-hmm. That even though it's a tremendous, you know, they're both tremendous.
Yeah,
I just don't think that it's going to be up there within the top five or top 10.
Sure, I'll agree with that. Aaron Banks asks, will you guys be on the Mat Men channel for NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania? We need no holds barred Mat Men. That's a good question. We took a look at that super overwhelming schedule of shows that WWE is putting out, and we got to figure out what to do on our channel and what to do for the Observer. But I wouldn't mind getting a little nuts with it.
Yeah, so I believe we're already committed for WrestleMania for both nights. We could do night one and night two, do something like that, but I think they really wanted us to do WrestleMania for both nights because it's blockbuster for both of us. And NXT, I was planning on doing there also, but maybe we'll do one night of NXT on our channel. Maybe night one we'll do on F4W and we'll do night two on our channel. There's so much wrestling that week. From Monday all the way to Thursday, there's wrestling.
Yeah.
You got Raw. You got the Hall of Fame. You got TakeOver. You have Dynamite. You have TakeOver 2. You have Night 1. You have SmackDown. I'm sorry. You have Night 1 WrestleMania. Night 2 WrestleMania. You got Raw. You got NXT on Tuesday. That's by the way, what are we up to? 10. And you got Dynamite on Wednesday. That's 11. You have 11 straight nights. Of big lot, stuff happening. I've also been told that single show from that non-competitive show that AEW is going to have alone, they're going to do a big show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're going to do a big show.
Very cool. We got two more questions. We got time for two more questions. Yeah. And I'm going to read, I'm going to do the reverse on this. John Gorman asks, I saw that Kylie Rae is coming back to wrestling. If she does appear back with Impact or AEW, if you were management, how could you trust her? I understand her situation, but that is the reality.
I feel bad for her. I really do, because it's I don't want to speculate on anybody's mental health or what they're going through. But if I'm running a business and you've seen the opportunity that was handed, that was given to someone based on their hard work. Not that she was undeserving of it. I would have a sour taste in my mouth if I was AEW because she did go to Impact after leaving. And then I would have a way more sour taste because of what happened at Impact. I don't know. Maybe, you know, there are certain people that don't want to be, and I'm not saying this is her, but I know a lot of people. Rich, you and I, we know a lot of people like this. Super talented, great. Yeah. You can't say a bad word, but they just, it's self-sabotage to an extent. And I'm not saying this is her. I'm not talking about her mental health, but certain people fall under that category. Other people, listen, it's a very difficult thing. The fact that these performers go out in front of 30,000, 25,000 people, sometimes it becomes overwhelming. And I'm not saying that was her issue, that she got overwhelmed by being in front of the fans. But, you know, small fish in a, you know, a big fish in a small pond over a small fish in a big pond. You know, I get that. I understand why certain people would rather not do, you know, be in front of a large audience. I don't know what, I don't really know her situation too well. I don't know what kind of relationship she has with Tony Khan or with anybody. I just hope that, you know, whatever it is, she's over it or she's able to manage it and go from there.
Well, also, the reality is, like, we live in a modern era where corporate folks and folks up top have been more understanding of people's mental health, you know? So I think that goes a long way, you know, like you can't shut the door on somebody because of an issue like that, you know? So like, who knows? You never say never in wrestling, right?
Lars Sullivan is a great example, right?
Yeah.
Lars publicly has a tremendous mental health issue. There's a lot of stuff going on with him. He's had series of depression and anxiety and all this stuff. I mean, you heard the story. This guy was supposed to face John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Think about that opportunity to be given to somebody like him. That is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and you drop the ball, and then you came back and you dropped the ball again. So he's done. I mean, he's finished at this point. I don't think he'll ever wrestle again, but WWE was very patient. And you got to give them kudos on this, where they didn't jump the gun. They didn't terminate him. They fined him. I mean, first of all, they fined this guy $100,000.
Yes.
For something that happened 10 years ago.
Very insane, retroactive.
Very
fine. They made public, too.
Listen, and I'm not defending what he wrote, but, you know, you're looking at a dopey 20-year-old kid writing stupid stuff on the internet on a stupid bodybuilding website that's known for this kind of stuff. You now hire him. It comes to WWE needs to be able to do their own deep forensic dive on these people's activities.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Right?
Every company does.
Listen, my company does it. I do it on a lot of scenarios. You have to do it. If you're investing money into somebody to build, you have to do a forensic dive into their activities and their life. There's no question about it.
Also, like, you know, I was talking about this the other day, like, it's almost like applying for like a condo or like an apartment, you know, like that's a hard process to actually get an interview and then, you know, get everything in place so you can move into like a nice building, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost the same thing. You need like better vetting and all that stuff. One more question.
Let's do it.
All right. Last question. This is from Reed at C. How many call-ups do you think will happen after WrestleMania? Also, who do you think is going to get called up, Andrew?
I have no idea. I know that they really want to make Tuesdays work, so they can't gut NXT. Mm-hmm. But I would assume people will go to NXT on that first Tuesday. I think there'll be a call-up there. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to guess somebody, right? If you asked me 2 weeks ago who it would be, I would say Andrade should go down there and Aleister Black should go down there. No questions about it. Put them down there and have them in that main event positioning.
I'll agree with you. Like, do like the opposite, where like, let's say you move up Adam Cole, bring down Andrade and Aleister Black, right? Yep. Move up Finn Balor, bring Cesaro to NXT.
Somebody. I think NXT needs a lot of their top talent. I think for WWE, you could, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar comes back. Maybe John Cena comes back. You know, you could. Sure. The main roster has more of an ability to shift people around and use them in a different way. What if you move Daniel Bryan to Raw and he challenges, you know, Lashley for the title or something? You could do a lot that could kind of position the main roster. I do think it's detrimental to NXT if you start stripping away their guys. They're high guys. Maybe you could take, you know, what happens to... let's see. Let me think of somebody right now on NXT TV that they could call up. Grimes.
Okay.
What happened if you move them to the main roster? What happens?
Probably SmackDown.
Nothing. SmackDown.
SmackDown. Keep the $1 million redneck gimmick. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I'm curious. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Jonathan wants Enzo.
Who doesn't?
Listen, Enzo and Big Cass, man. You know what? If I'm WWE, I'm signing him right now. Serious. I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. I'm not joking at all. They are the quintessential WWE product. Bring them back. Put them in the tag situation. have them wipe out the New Day immediately, and you put the titles on them, and think of the conversation the next day.
Oh, absolutely. You're sloppy jalopy.
You sloppy freaking jalopy.
You're sloppy jalopy.
What are you, a sloppy jalopy? Can I tell you, Matt Prano's needs to happen.
Yes.
I just got to tell you, because I'm so, all we do, our love language, right, between me and Rich and Gonzo and Jonathan is just sending the most bonkers Sopranos TikToks to each other.
I have to tell you, Papa Jono,
yeah. I have to tell you, I absolutely hate Richie in the Sopranos.
Oh, he sucks. Richie's the most...
You believe it? I took this jacket off of Tommy two times, and this guy, where's your jacket? You're not even wearing your jacket.
It's in the car.
I'm telling you, this was a bonkers... The Sopranos is and was a bonkers version of Seinfeld.
Absolutely.
If Jerry Seinfeld was a mobster, this would be the show.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, really.
You're 100% right. Who's Kramer? It's Paulie, right? Paulie has to be Kramer.
Paulie's Kramer. 100% Paulie's Kramer. Silvio
could be George,
is,
too.
Silvio's George.
Elaine, I think Chris is George.
Who's a Christopher.
Elaine is Dr. Melfi.
Elaine is Dr. Melfi. Listen, everybody had the hots for Dr. Melfi.
Absolutely.
I liked it when she got overly, when she would get like influenced by them, by Tony, and she would start using like words like whacked.
So good.
I've never heard a mobster or a monster say whacked. I just got
to
tell you.
We definitely got to do Matt Prano's.
Matt Prano's has to happen.
Yeah.
They don't talk like that ever. Not anymore. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back Sunday on our channel for Fastlane Watch Along. We'll post links. We'll get everything going there. Also, we're doing a big giveaway. We're giving away a Steve Austin Funko Pop. All you's gotta do's is guess what age Rich and myself were when we became friends. There's a 3-year age difference. If you've listened to the show, you could kind of piece this together. We were teenagers. I'll put it that way. Is your hint. The way you win is by emailing me, guysfromqueens@gmail.com, with your answer. Anything else, Rich?
Yeah, so this Mark in our chat room is really trying to get a joke in.
Okay, do it.
He's slowly typing it. He's like, joke time, boys. He's been trying to do this for the last hour and a half.
Okay, go, do it.
This guy's got to type super fast right now.
Okay, he got the punchline in. It's there.
He goes, I got my stimulus check on St. Patrick's Day. Guess you can call it the luck of the IRS.
Beautiful. But
you're fucking fired, Mark.
You're fired, Mark. I gave you a rim shot, too, with that. Don't encourage
it. Do us a goddamn favor. Don't fucking watch our show anymore.
Thank you, Mark, for that joke. We'll see y'all next time. Mark. Take care.
Happy 350. Later, guys.